Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
A meeting organised by alcohol campaign groups will today hear that the government's plan to boost the nighttime economy will lead to more drink-related disease, injuries, crime, public disorder, public safety issues and domestic violence. Now, legislation is on the way that will provide for longer licensing hours with the aim of expanding the late-night economy, boosting jobs and creating more cultural activities. But could the harms outweigh those benefits? I'm joined by Dr. Sheila Gilheeny, who's CEO at Alcohol Action Ireland, and also Sunil Sharp, who's DJ and spokesperson for the Give Us the Night campaign. Now, Sheila, to you first, your organisation, you're one of a number of groups opposed to this new bill, and you commissioned an analysis of it by Professor Tom Babur, and he says loosening up licensing laws will lead to trouble.
Yes, and thanks very much for having me on. So Professor Babur is a world-leading expert on alcohol-related harm, and indeed the alcohol policies that can be introduced to try and mitigate that harm. And there's three key areas around trying to reduce alcohol harm. You have controls on prices, controls on marketing, and controls on availability. The Sale of Alcohol Bill is a bill which is going to, or the proposals within it are there to increase the availability of alcohol. And it does that through increasing licensing hours and by increasing the number of venues where alcohol can be sold and the types of venues that are there. And what Professor Babur has done is really look at the evidence on a global basis and, you know, see what has been done elsewhere, what has worked, what hasn't worked. And what is very clear from his analysis is that if we proceed with this bill as it is, we are only storing up problems for ourselves.
Yeah, he talks about epidemics of public intoxication seen in other countries. I just wonder, you know, people want to go out late to enjoy themselves, to go to cultural events. Is it that you believe we can't be trusted not to drink until we fall over or get into a fight or some terrible harm comes to those, to ourselves and those around us?
It's not a case of that, you know, people can't be trusted, but all we can do is look at the evidence that when alcohol is widely available, what are the consequences that come from that? So one thing that we see straight away is that, you know, if we look at our ED departments, and we had actually a contribution from Dr. Owen Fogarty, who is a consultant in emergency medicine in Cork University Hospital. And he was making a very clear point this morning that about 30% of presentations at EDs at the weekend are already alcohol related. And he was literally crying out, please don't increase this anymore. We have our EDs are on their knees at the moment. Why would we try and increase, you know, that level of problem that they're experiencing? That was just one voice of many, okay, you know, contributors.
Well, let's bring in Sunil on this. What do you think about what is said in this report? And you've heard Sheila there. They've heard from a doctor this morning pleading, saying, don't do this. We're swamped with people coming in who have been drinking and who are presenting at weekends in particular. And what are we going to do? We're going to increase the problem now.
Hi, Claire. Thanks for having me on. I haven't seen the report. This is really the first that I didn't know there was a presentation. We haven't read it. I know some of the examples that are being cited in news reports today are Amsterdam and Norway. They are examples that Sheila has used before. I mean, I'd like to see, obviously, the report before I can really comment on that specifically. But I think it's very important to really focus in and zone in on what changes are actually happening here in the post-pub or post-normal regular opening hours industry, if you want to call it that. I mean, at the moment, late bars, they take up they're the most prominent stakeholder. There are approximately, I'm not sure how many, but probably a few hundred versus about 80 to 85 specific dance venues. So, I mean, it's changed. They've changed places over the last 20 years as the laws have changed. What we would anticipate is that they're going to be somewhere, like the only late night places that are the appetite at the moment in Dublin with some operators is to go late, but it's definitely not the majority. At the moment, there are approximately 25 late night dance venues. And, you know, there would be nightclubs at a push. You know, go back 20 odd years, it was 100 nightclubs. We don't have nightclubs in the suburbs anymore. I mean, overall, you've got nearly about 6,600 pubs in the entire country. You've got, including nightclubs, if you put nightclubs and late bars together, you have somewhere under 400, you know. And there's going to be a very small proportion of those that will be able to get a nightclub license or a nightclub permit for late venues. No lay bar who are going to account for the highest amount of places opening after midnight are going any later than they currently do. They're not looking for extensions.
Okay, well let's look at what we're talking about
a very tiny fraction of the venues that are currently opening that can go. And by the way, there's a lot of talk of 6 a.m. The bar would be good until 5 a.m. And that would be subject to court approval as well. There'll be many venues that won't get to go till 5 a.m.
All right, well, let's look at what the report claims.
Even if they wanted to.
It says in the Netherlands, a one-hour extension in central Amsterdam. So that's only 1 hour, and it's only in central Amsterdam. This report says it resulted in a 34% increase in ambulance calls for alcohol-related injuries compared to other areas in the city. Do you accept that that is a possibility if you increase the availability of alcohol?
I'd also like to know what year that was, and I'd also like to put on record that Amsterdam have introduced 24-hour licences since then. I mean, I definitely agree, when you have a high concentration or a high density area with a lot of licensed premises, particularly super pubs, where the only purpose of those venues is just to serve people alcohol, then yes, that can be a recipe for disaster. And yes, if you are going to highlight particular areas that are trying to bring in stag parties and, you know, offer a very one-dimensional service are offering to their patrons, it is likely to lead to an increase in public order or, you know, a rise in alcohol related harm. That's undisputed. Like, you can't dispute that. Absolutely. But it's a one off. I would like to know what happened after that there. Also, as far as I know, that was commissioned by, I think it was somebody from the university in Amsterdam. I don't know if the authorities over in Amsterdam. And the good thing about Amsterdam is they react to these changes. You know, they didn't commission that report, but I'm sure they reacted to that report at the time. And they're fluid with this stuff. They're always trying to do better. And one of the learnings, and again, I'm sure Sheila will agree with me on this as well, is where you do have, and I mentioned already about these high concentrated areas that are just full of super pubs. We can do better than that, you know. We can utilise spaces that aren't all in the centre of the city or the centre of a town. We can use retail parks. We can use other underutilised spaces outside of the centre of the city. But what we're looking for are more dance spaces, more entertainment spaces. We want to improve our nighttime culture. And really, I mean, drinking culture and drinking, what we're drinking in Ireland, I mean, it's gradually going down.
Okay, I want to bring Sheila in to respond to that. Sheila, this is not about expanding our drinking culture. You've heard Sunil there. It's about creating more cultural spaces across a broader area and looking at that concentration in town and city centres, removing that concentration from those areas so that people can access the nighttime economy in a more equal way.
We certainly have no problem with people being able to, you know, go out, enjoy themselves, dance, do whatever. That's fine. We're not talking about that. We're talking about the availability of alcohol. And one of the things that, you know, Sunil just mentioned there is about the density of alcohol outlets. One of our concerns about this bill is that we will see an increase in alcohol outlet density because there's no mechanism to actually decrease it or indeed to measure it by any standards. One of the things that we're actually calling for is that there should be a public health impact assessment of this bill, which would, really highlight some of the areas that we're talking about and put into place some measures. For example, keeping a cap on, you know, the number of outlets that there can be in particular areas. Certainly, we need to roll back on this idea of extending licensing hours. So we're not talking here even about nightclubs. We're just talking about ordinary pubs having an extra hour at the moment, which has just been granted, just to stay open for an extra hour, making it easier for other pubs to be open till 2:30 at night. So again, this has nothing to do with dancing. This is just simply saying that this bill is allowing for an increase in alcohol availability. And we certainly have a concern that in a way of saying we want to enhance our nighttime experience. Again, we have no problem with that. But somehow this has been linked as being inextricably linked to increased sales, increased availability of alcohol. And we would question, why is that the case? So when I look at, you know, Simon Harris is currently the Minister for Justice who's holding this portfolio, we see a huge mismatch between his work that he would have done with the Public Health Alcohol Act, which was putting in controls around the pricing of alcohol and the marketing of alcohol. Well, the third other big factor in trying to reduce alcohol harm is alcohol availability. And it is beyond belief that we would see now a bill coming out from the Department of Justice, which is pushing things in the opposite direction.
Okay, so you see a contradiction. I need to leave it there, but thank you both. Sunil Sharp, DJ and spokesperson. Really briefly, Sunil, because I have to go.
Yeah, I mean, listen, planning rules already oversee the density of licensed premises. Just in terms of alcohol sales, I mean, bar takes in most late night venues are down 50 or 60%. I mean, venues are hanging on by a thread. Is this what Sheila wants? Because unless we change these licensing laws, there are more venues shutting. I mean, that's the reality of it.
Okay.
We have to change the licensing laws. They're trying to derail this bill, and we need to accelerate it.
Sunil Sharp and Dr. Sheila Gilheeny, thank you both for joining us. We'll take a break.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.